Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. It's Tuesday at AT&T Park in San Francisco. Madison Bumgarner returning to the mound for the Giants tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we'll talk about that with Giants outfielder Mac Williamson, who lockers right next to Mad Bum. Also, we're going to hear from Will the Thrill. Will Clark will be our guest. A little bit from Bruce Bochy, Dave Greshner, the Giants trainer who worked hard with Madison Bumgarner on his rehab. And we're going to hear from Rich Waltz, play-by-play announcer with MLB Network and Facebook. They're going to have the Facebook broadcast on Wednesday of the Giants and the Diamondbacks. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Now let's get to the conversation with Giants left fielder Mac Williamson. Mac, how's it going this time around? I mean, I know, you know, when you first came up to the major leagues this year, you were on fire, you had the concussion. So what's the difference maybe this time around, trying to get your timing going and everything like that?
Yeah, I think it's just about getting back in the rhythm. You know, baseball's such a, up and down sport. One day you can, you know, feel like you can hit any pitch, and the next, you know, you kind of feel lost up there. So for me right now, it's just about, you know, being on time consistently and, you know, consistently putting good swings on the balls. And I think lately I've done a pretty good job of that. I felt more like myself the last few games, and I'm excited to get back in there tonight.
The approach that you have after seeing Doug Latta, tell us about that and how easy it is maybe to get back into form with that, or if it's more of a challenge than before, you know, because you definitely got locked in with that stance and that approach.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the injury and having to sit out for a few weeks, but I think more than anything other than, you know, the any mechanical issues pre and post injury, I think it's just about timing, really. You know, when you're on time and it allows you to see the ball that much longer and that much better, and, you know, when you can see the ball better, you can probably put better swings on it, make better decisions on which pitches you want to swing at and which ones you want to take. I think, you know, lately I've my timing the last few games I felt has been really good, and it's just a matter of time.
Now, I don't know if you ever banged your head before playing baseball or any other sport, but it had to be frustrating in some ways because you just don't know when you can come back from a concussion like that. So tell us what you went through, because, I don't know, were there times where you thought, okay, it's going to go faster than I think, and then you had to wait a little longer?
Yeah, absolutely. I never had a head injury in my career. I was very fortunate to have escaped any sort of concussion, you know, so an unfortunate event, but you know, the whole process was new to me. So, you know, one day I'd feel really good, feel like I was very close, if not ready to come get back on the field. And, you know, then the next day I'd feel terrible. So it was definitely a new experience and one that I don't recommend for anybody. No, it just, you know, it makes you appreciate, you know, being on the field. And in an unrelated note, it makes you appreciate what some of the other guys go through in other sports that where concussions are more prevalent, you know, with football and hockey and those sports, because it's definitely not fun. You know, you're left in the dark about a lot of things. I was at first. You just, you know, people react differently, and symptoms are different. And for me, I really didn't know what to expect. And so, like I said, one day I'd feel really good, and I felt like I was really close, and we all would. And then the next, it would be a bad day, and we'd have to push it back.
It's so strange, too, because you stayed in that game after it happened, yet, you know, later on these effects happened. So, I mean, it must be something that's on your mind. Why was I able to play then, and then all of a sudden I can't?
No doubt. You know, I stayed in the game. I felt pretty good the rest of the game, and I hit the home run, and, you know, I felt fairly good. Even after the game, I felt pretty good. That night I slept well, and then the next morning I came in, and I didn't feel so good, and I was a little sore, so... you know, and that's kind of how these things are. You know, one day you're feeling one symptom, or you're not feeling any symptoms, then the next day you're feeling something different. And if you've never gone through it before, you know, the uncertainty and anxiety of the whole situation can really play up the symptoms and make it that much worse and prolong your recovery. So, you know, fortunately for me, I was able to go to Pittsburgh and see Mickey Collins, and he's been instrumental in getting me back on the field quicker.
Are you apprehensive at all when you go over towards the bullpen area? I mean, Bruce Bochy did talk about how, you know, maybe that needs to be changed, where you don't have the bullpen mounds out there, but there's just not a room enough at this ballpark to have a bullpen somewhere else. So when you come charging after a ball, are you maybe more cognizant of it before, or how does that work for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I joke with Crawford a little bit about it since I've been back, you know, every time a foul ball goes over in that direction, kind of point over to the mound and remind him there's a mound there. But, no, it, you know, it's one of those things. At the time, I really didn't feel like I did anything stupid, or I wasn't trying to be a tryhard. You know, the ball was, you know, close to the foul line. It was in the grass. It wasn't on top of the mound. It didn't dive on the mound or anything. I wasn't, you know, I didn't do anything that was, you know, really dangerous. I just tried to make the play and then run over the mound, and which, you know, people have done for years, and my spike caught it, and that was the unfortunate part. So, you know, it's there on both sides. It's there for both teams, and, you know, we're well aware that it's there. You know, if a ball goes over there, I'm, you know, still going to try to catch it. It's not, you know, I'm not going to let the ball fall. You know, in that situation with Harper up, two guys on, that was a big situation for us. And you know, I was trying to do my best to help get us out of the inning. And, you know, if a foul ball goes over there again, I'm going to do my best to catch it and be cognizant of the mound and, you know, do everything I can to prevent, you know, a repeat of that event. And that wasn't fun.
Let's talk about the team. This team's won five games in a row. You're getting people back. You came back. Joe Panik, he's swinging the bat. Well, Alan Hansen. And now tonight, Madison Bumgarner, a moment that a lot of people have been waiting for. And your locker is right next to his. So I can only imagine what it's been like being next to him over here, because he must be chomping at the bit to get back out there, just like the fans are and everybody. So what's your reaction to Mad Bum being back out there?
I think it's no secret to anybody, you know, fans or inside baseball, that Bum is a fiercer competitor. You know, he's a fiery guy, and he wants to be out there more than anybody. And, you know, when I got hurt and I spent some time in the training room when he was in there rehabbing, and he was chomping at the bit to get back out there for sure. And, you know, he worked his butt off every single day and to do everything he could, you know, to be ready when his hand was ready. And I stood in on a couple bullpens before he went on his rehab assignment, and I'll be honest, I told him, he surprised me with how well the ball was coming out day one off the mound. It was really impressive, the body of work he was able to put in on the disabled list, and, you know, the place he was able to be come time to throw off the mound. It was really impressive. So, you know, obviously he's been the workhorse of this team for many years, and, you know, having his presence back out there on the mound, you know, it's going to be fun to play behind. I think there's a lot of energy going into this game because he's back out there. But look, the guys that have been pitching for us have done a tremendous job. Over the weekend against the Phillies, the guys that pitched, Stratt and then Suarez and then D-Rod in his first start, you can't pitch any better than that. One run in three games, you're going to win a lot of ball games when your pitchers do that, and then your bullpen comes in and shuts the door. It was fun to play behind them, and they've done a great job this month and really, you know, all year to keep us in it. And you know, I thought Holland has thrown the ball exceptionally well the last few times out. So, you know, having Bum as an addition to all that, it's just, you know, it's the icing on the cake.
So many guys going down, it would be easy to kind of hang your head a little bit. I mean, you know, you're down and, you know, you're trying to come back. You look at Bumgarner coming back. How much does it help everybody to sort of re-energize? I mean, you guys are at 500 without Bumgarner. Like you said, all those other guys did a great job. Does it mean that, you know, this team can really start to turn it on from here?
You know, I think that, you know, the guys that we've had, you know, playing before, we've dealt with some injuries, like you said, but, you know, our offense has done exceptionally well. Our pitching has done exceptionally well. There's been some spans where things, you know, haven't panned out like we wanted to, but overall we played some pretty good baseball. You know, we had a stretch there. We won five series in a row and went on a little bit of a skid, and then now lately we've won, like you said, five in a row. So the team itself all the way around has really, you know, carried their own weight, whether it be on the mound or in the box. And, you know, having Bum back, you know, on the mound, you know, regardless of how his outing goes, I think it's going to be, you know, a fun time for everybody. You know, nobody likes to see any of their teammates hurt. So knowing everybody in here, knowing how badly he wants to be back out there and how much passion he has for the game, we're all going to be super happy to have him back out there. And that in itself is going to be fun to watch.
You ever think back to, I mean, 2010, he's pitching in the World Series. I think you were probably, what, a teenager at that point. Now your locker's next to him, and you're his teammate, and you're gleaning information from him. Isn't it funny how fast things can change?
It is. You know, I knew of Bum when, obviously, being from North Carolina when he was in high school, but I'd like to say that I'm significantly younger than him, but the truth is I'm less than a year younger than him. So, you know, in 2010, when he was pitching, I was, what, I had just turned 20, so I really wasn't that much younger than him. That's kind of a, you know, that's just kind of goes to show how impressive his career's been thus far, how early he came up, and how well he did, you know, from the get-go.
Thanks a lot, Mac. Really appreciate it. Good luck tonight and the rest of the way.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
That's Giants left fielder Mac Williamson. Coming up, we're going to hear from Will the Thrill. Will Clark will be our guest. But first, I want to brag about my car.
That's right, I love my Mini Cooper convertible, not only because of the way it handles, which is off the charts, but also because it gets serviced by the best in the biz, the team at Mini of Marin. Stop by Mini of Marin and strap in. See you there.
Now let's get to the conversation with Will the Thrill. Well, first of all, the draft just happened, and I'm curious about your memories of when you were drafted, and maybe if you could relate a little bit to Joey Bart, the catcher from Georgia Tech, being number two overall, and just the expectations that are involved.
Well, the expectations are pretty big. You know, I mean, there's a reason that they made you the number two pick in the country. My time back then, you know, was a combination because I got drafted the day of an Arkansas game in the College World Series. So, you know, it was fun that I got drafted, and, you know, I really, really enjoyed it. But then I had to go play a baseball game that night. And, you know, Joey and those guys, you know, they're finishing their seasons, you know, in college and stuff like that. And being a number two pick, you know, the Giants are definitely looking at him to do something and be an impact player. Now, when that is going to be, that's going to be up to Mr. Barton, how quick he makes the adjustments.
How did you handle it, though? I mean, once you got drafted, you went into the minor leagues. Everybody's expecting so much. I mean, you have to have supreme confidence to be able to succeed in those situations.
You know, I was one of those kind of guys. When I got drafted, the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to go play. You know, I didn't want to hang around and loiter around and haggle over money and all that sort of stuff. You know, look, I was going to be fair. Giants were going to be fair. Let's go play baseball. And that's what I wound up doing. It took a week to get signed, and then I was in Fresno, California, playing baseball, you know, a few days later. And so it was extremely gratifying. And, you know, we had a good team. We wound up winning the California League title. And so it was a good break into pro ball.
Were there any struggles at all, like the first few weeks that you were a pro player and where you're just saying, okay, I got to figure this out?
No, definitely. There was some struggles for sure. You know, I showed up and actually the first game, I had a real good game. I had two homers. I had a homer in my first at-bat in the minor leagues too. But then I proceeded to pull like a 0 for 20, you know, right after that. And it's like, hey, you know, playing every day and making the adjustments and stuff like that. So, you know, I had to lean on, you know, my coaching staff and some of the other players and say, hey, you know, how do you go about doing this on an everyday basis? You know, because, you know, when you're in college, you don't play every day.
I noticed just looking back on your swing, when I look at video of you and kind of remembering in my mind's eye too, that you had this natural swing that left the ballpark. You know, like it was sort of that uppercut. But now people are looking for launch angle and trying to sort of force that. I mean, was it sort of natural for you?
You know, it was a lot of it's hand-eye coordination, but then you work real hard to, you know, get the swing path down. And that was the big thing that my generation talked about. You know, Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs, Ken Griffey Jr., you know, all those guys that come down to first base, we always talked about staying in the zone for a long time. We called it being on plane with the ball. And now these guys are talking, like you said, about launch angle and getting the ball up and, you know, kind of dipping and ripping almost. And, your area for success is very, very small when you do that, whereas, you know, my area for success is a lot longer. And, you know, so that's why some of these guys now, you know, they're hitting 20, 30 homers, whatever it is, but they got 150 strikeouts and they're hitting 260, you know, instead of hitting 330 and doing that.
So did you feel like, you know, it was taboo to strike out? I mean, did you get angry at yourself, whereas now these guys seem to accept it?
Yeah, these guys now, they accept it. Not only did I get angry at it, but my general manager, Al Rosen, got angry at it, and he wore us out. You know, if you had a three-strikeout, four-strikeout game, something like that, you know, he crushed you. I mean, he'd be in the dugout or in the clubhouse the next day, you know, like, what are you doing? You know, you can't make contact with the baseball. I mean, it was tough love, but, you know, that's the way it was back then. And, you know, you had to take it as constructive criticism, make the adjustment, and get it, find a way to put the ball in play and give yourself more opportunities to get base hits.
Speaking of adjustments, we've seen it with Mack Williamson. Now we're seeing it with Hunter Pence. They're adopting a different approach, and especially with Pence, I mean, right in the middle of the season trying to do that. How much of a challenge is it? How important was it for those two guys to make that adjustment?
You know what? It's quite a bit. You know, for Mack Williamson, he did it over the offseason. So, you know, he had several months to prepare. You know, Hunter Pence is doing it right in the middle of the season. So, you know, I personally never made wholesale changes like that. I made little bit and pieces, and you know, I tinkered with stuff here and there, but I didn't want to get completely out of whack. And for them doing, you know, wholesale changes like that, it's tough, and especially doing it on the major league level.
How about the way Brandon Crawford is swinging the bat now? And he was hitting 189 at the end of April, which is really not him. What do you think happened to him to kick in? Now he's one of the hottest hitters in the National League.
You know, he moved his hand position. And, you know, we had talked about it before about having a better path to the ball. And by moving his hand position, he does have a much better path to the ball. He's making a lot better, you know, contact. And, you know, he's finding the green grass out there, which he was having problems doing before.
Moved his hands up, right?
He moved his hands up. And then what that created was that created a better posture. And then, like we talked about before, that dipping and ripping. If your hands are a little higher, it's hard to dip. And when you dip, you miss ump underneath the ball. You foul off a lot of balls, which is what he was doing. Now he's not fouling them off. He's hitting them.
It's amazing how just a small adjustment like that can mean a lot. I mean, with Brandon Belt, when he adjusted his grip, that seemed to make a difference. And he's having a great year. He's out right now after the appendix. But, man, that guy is swinging the bat great. I mean, what have you thought about what he's doing so far this season?
You know what? I mean, you always knew the potential was there, and you just needed him to stay out on the field. And, you know, he's done a good job these first few months of the season. And, you know, he had a bad little deal with the appendix the other day. But, you know, we're hoping he's able to come back here pretty soon and, you know, take up where he left off.
And what about the guys with track records like Longoria and McCutchen? Do you have the feeling like, you know, they're eventually going to catch fire? You know, they've had their moments here and there.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, both of those guys, you know, being the seasoned veterans they are, the true professionals they are, you know, they know how long the season is. But also at the same time, they've been getting, even though they haven't gotten a ton of the kind of hits that you want, they've been getting a lot of clutch hits. You know, I mean, McCutchen got a big three-run homer the other night for us, put the game out of reach. Longoria's got some big two-out RBIs for us. So these guys are still participating, and they're still contributing to the team and doing a great job.
Last thing, Madison Bumgarner coming back. This team was able to hang around at 500, exactly 500, for this game tonight. So how much do you think this pumps up everybody that Mad Bomb is back out there?
You know what? I know that not only does it pump up, you know, the team, but it pumps up the fans. I'd imagine it's going to be pretty loud out here. We're probably going to have a sellout on a Tuesday night, which, you know, is like, wow, you know. But, you know, just the fact that, you know, it's a psyche-type thing, too. You know, you get your number one out there, you know, your big boy, you know, the guy who's you know, the MVP of the series and, you know, got you a ring, and now he's back out on the mound. It's like, man, we've been waiting on this. Let's go.
All right. Well, hey, thanks a lot for the time.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
No problem. My pleasure.
That's Will Clark. Well, tonight at AT&T Park, Madison Bumgarner making his way back to the mound after being out all season with the broken pinky, and he had to go through extensive rehab with a trainer, Dave Greshner. Here's what Dave had to say about how Bumgarner treated his rehab.
He did a great job keeping his arms strong and the rest of his body strong, his lower body, his core. We were able to get a lot of good work in while that hand healed up.
How do you keep your arms strong when you're not throwing, or do you simulate a throwing motion?
He did a lot of shoulder exercises. We did a lot of different things, cuff weights on his arm, just to do anything we could to keep the strength in there. So like I said, Bum's great. He works super hard, and he did a lot. He did it all, and probably more.
I mean, that's what you're looking for as a trainer, right? I mean, the guy who's going to come in and work hard at it to get back. He's so anxious to get back in there, because I would think that's the most important thing, is putting in those hours, because it could be really monotonous. It's not baseball anymore. It's, trying to work physically to get your body back.
Well, everyone sees Bum's competitiveness on the field, and that's pretty much what he does with his rehab. I mean, he works really hard, and he gets after it just like he does in the game. And that helps us. You know, we get a guy that's that motivated. I really feel like that helps you come back bigger, stronger, and quicker. And he's been working his butt off, so that's nice to see.
That's Giants trainer Dave Greschner. Bruce Bochy also talked about getting Mad Bum back before the game.
Well, first of all, I mean, we're very excited that he is starting. It's good to have him back. It's been a while, since that last start in spring training, and but he's ready to go, and so good news for us. I know he's excited about it, and it's always great to have your guy back. And he's one of those guys we need, to help us get to where we want to go. And so we're getting healthier, and this is a big part of it. And Cueto's not too far behind. He's going to take a bullpen Friday. So, but this is a good day for us to have him back.
Bochy also talked about Bumgarner being ready to go deep into games right away.
Tonight, sure, there's a little bit of a governor on him. You're looking at around 90 pitches, but that's not too bad. It's hopefully 6-7 innings in that area. Again, this was not the arm that he hurt. It was a pinky, and so that's a little different, too. He does work. He had two rehab starts. He had a couple long bullpens before that. He's ready to go. So, no, we're not going to hold back on him at all.
I also asked Bochy about Gorkys Hernandez and the season he is having, a 300 hitter after he had a good second half last season.
I think you look at last year what he did, and so he showed that he's capable of doing what he's doing right now. Now, and he got some playing time. He took advantage of it, and he ran with it. And he's always been a gifted defender. I think the hitting part was always in question, but he showed that he could handle major league pitching last year, and he's doing it again.
That's Giants manager Bruce Bochy. Coming up, we'll hear from play-by-play announcer Rich Waltz, who is calling the action for the Giants and Diamondbacks game on Facebook on Wednesday. We'll have that conversation right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right, just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Now here's the conversation with Rich Waltz from MLB Network. Rich, you're here, and you're going to do one of those Facebook games that MLB Network actually produces, and you're covering the Giants-Diamondbacks on Wednesday. So tell us a little bit about, first of all, the telecasts. Since you've been doing them, Giants fans got to experience it when the Giants played in Philadelphia, and it was definitely interesting. What's your take on it?
Well, as a broadcaster, it's another telecast. Facebook is essentially just the platform. It's like MLB Network or ESPN or FS1. That's where the game is airing. So as a broadcaster, you're there to just call the game. It's a different format. And I totally understand the frustrations that many people have had, because from our generation, you watch the games on television. But if you have anybody in your house from the age of 12 through 30 or 25, you know that they consume television on tablets, on phones, on laptops. They stream it up. And so this is, for Major League Baseball, what they're trying to do is, and all the leagues, the NFL has done it with Twitter, NBA as well, they're trying to find other outlets for their games to air. So, you know, like, look, and if I'm a Giants fan, I love Kipe and Kruk. That is the best telecast in baseball. I grew up over in the East Bay, so I have some authority on that. So I understand that they want to see their hometown guys, but this is for Major League Baseball, it's a national platform. It's actually a worldwide platform because it's free. You just need to sign up for a Facebook account, and it obviously goes worldwide, and we treat it as a national telecast. And tomorrow, the play-by-play announcers are Scott Braun and I do the games. We kind of split the games, and the analysts generally have a tie to each team. And so tomorrow I have just a kind of a real blessing and really a jolt to me to work with Mike Kruko. For me, that's a real thrill. And Eric Burns. I worked with Burns a couple weeks ago with Oral Hershiser on a Dodgers game, and that was fun too.
Yeah, I've recently had Eric Burns on the podcast, and it's great because he's a Bay Area native, so you got him and you got Kruko. The thing about Burns that's great is you think about him as a player, he never ran the bases slowly. He was hustling no matter, even if it was an obvious out. So, I mean, you know, he's a guy who really loves the game. Both of those guys love the game so much.
Yeah, I think we'll have a really fun telecast. And there is a component of fan interaction. That's the social media part. And look, if you're going to watch this on your computer, if you're going to stream it onto your television, if you don't like the comments, you can remove them. Just swipe right on your tablet or your phone. There's a little button if you've got a laptop or a personal computer that you just press, and all the comments disappear. So it'll be fun, especially with those two guys. And the story of the National League West is a real intriguing one. Here are the Giants coming into tonight's game with Bumgarner pitching right at 500, and that was the rallying cry when he got hurt at the end of spring training, was if they can just stay at 500 by the time he gets back. Well, he's back, and the Giants are at 500.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are surprised, too. You know, you get McCutchen, you get Longoria. You thought maybe there would be a little bit of a jolt to the offense, but this offense actually has been better, I think, than people expected. I mean, the last time I looked, the batting average was second in the National League. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, some guys are having seasons that maybe you didn't expect, like a Gorkys Hernandez hitting 300 or the way Crawford's swinging the bat lately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Crawford in the middle of that lineup. I think having Panic back is a really nice thing for the Giants. Now, Brandon Belt's out, and he's, to me, always been one of the most underappreciated hitters in the National League. They're going to have to weather that storm for the next 3 weeks. But look at Boch's bench right now. Sandoval has a big night last night. Pence, Hanson. There's depth on this bench. You know, National League bench, sometimes you got to an infielder who can play all four spots, or an outfielder who's got a little speed or something like that. Boch has got weapons on that bench, and that I think was in game one of this series was a big factor.
You got to have the starting pitching. You mentioned that Bumgarner is coming back here as we speak Tuesday before the game. Johnny Cueto on the mend. How much of a factor will it be now when you look forward? Because all the teams are bunched up in the National League West. Do the Giants have the edge because they are getting these guys back?
If they come back and they're healthy, yes. I mean, that's the – oftentimes guys come back. I mean, you look at the Diamondbacks, Steven Souza Jr., who was supposed to be a big piece in place of J.D. Martinez. He was hurt from the outset, and everybody said, oh, when he comes back, it'll be great. He came back, and he's got the same injury. He's on the DL. So they've got to come back, and they've got to be healthy. That's number one. If that's the case, then all of a sudden, then you've got what the traditional Giants – secret sauces, or their formula is, and that is good rotation, you know, developed players from their system, sprinkle in guys that you bring in from the outside, which they've done with McCutchen and Longoria this year. Then all of a sudden you've got, that's what the Giants are really, really good at. And I mean, you know, I was looking back at some of the years where the Giants went to the postseason and won the World Series. They didn't win 100 games those years. It wasn't like you have to win 100 games. They don't have to win 100 games. The Giants win 88 to 90 games. That's, you know, looking like it's good enough to either get the wild card, or if the West stays the way the West is, that could win the division as well.
Their bullpen has really been good. I mean, look, Tony Watson, Mark Melancon coming back, and Hunter Strickland closing out games. And you basically have two closers there, because let's say Strickland falters a little bit, you could go to Melancon if he's healthy. So I would think Bruce Bochy is pretty happy with his options right now.
Yeah, and I think that bullpen and the length of that bullpen is really necessary. because the Giants rotation with Bumgarner and Cueto back, those are two big sexy names. But then you're relying on guys that maybe haven't been in a major league rotation for a full season, and guys that, you know, as the season goes along, their innings load might be more than they are used to. And so you're going to need length in your bullpen. So the more options that you've got, I think the better off you are.
By the way, you spent a long time with the Florida Marlins and a lot of time around Giancarlo Stanton. And, of course, he's in New York with the Yankees. What do you think about that? I mean, just the way the Yankees are playing. You know, it seems like there are several teams now that could be just a monster come playoff time, the Yankees being one of them.
Without question, that's the top of that division is really top heavy with the Red Sox and the Yankees playing the way they're playing. Stanton, it was no surprise to me that he got off to a slow start. You know, he's a streaky type of hitter, and I think what sometimes people underestimate any player, and I'll take the three outfielders from Miami that went different places. Two of them really struggled. Ozuna's hot now. Stanton's hot now. Yelich is probably got a swing that it's hard for that to go wrong. It's so steady. But what I'm talking about is as a hitting instructor or a staff, those guys were around guys that knew them and knew their psychology. And I'm not saying that the Yankees or the Cardinals don't have great hitting instructors. They do. But it takes 2 or 3 months around a hitter to know what buttons to push, when to push those buttons, how to work with that hitter. It's not always the mechanics. In fact, I think for a major league hitter, it's more about the psychology and the mental approach than it is that. But I'm really happy for him. I'm happy he's got a chance to compete. I'm happy he's going to have a chance to get to the postseason. I'm happy that more people get to see him and what a terrific player, all-around player is. Look, he hits the ball farther than anybody else. But he's an above-average outfielder. He plays hard. He works exceptionally hard. And he's a good guy. So you root for guys like that.
By the way, you mentioned that you're from the Bay Area, the East Bay, and you played baseball at UC Davis. What kind of memories do you have growing up in the Bay Area? You know, I don't know how often you went to Candlestick Park as a kid, but you know, I was there all the time as a kid. And, man, that was so much different than AT&T Park for sure.
I think I was one of the rare kids who was both an A's fan and a Giants fan. And I was a middle infielder, so I kind of gravitated towards the middle infielders and being my favorite players. When I was really young, Bert Campaneris, Campy Campaneris was the guy. Then as I got into high school and junior college and then played in college, guys like Donnie Hill, who was an obscure infielder who could really hit for the Athletics, Walt Weiss, and then Dwayne Kuiper, Robbie Thompson, even Johnny LeMaster. I always felt bad for LeMaster because he didn't play on great teams, and oftentimes he had to hit high in the lineup. But he wasn't that type of hitter. He should have been hitting eighth. Those are kind of the guys that I liked. But I went to the Coliseum a lot because you can get on BART from the East Bay and go right to the Coliseum back then. So I saw the end of the World Series runs, then into Billy Martin and Billy Ball, and then the Bash Brothers. And with the Giants, it was a little more difficult. Back then, BART didn't go that far, and so you had to take about 3 bus transfers and take your life in your hands at some times. But I got to Candlestick a lot and saw a lot of the Giants, the Frank Robinson Giants, the Joe Altobelli Giants, the Hum Baby Giants with Roger Craig, and then lots of Raider games, lots of 49er games, Cal Stanford football, basketball, West Coast Conference. My fourth grade team used to play at halftime of the USF games when Cartwright and Boynes and those guys were there. So all of that Bay Area sports growing up for a kid that played 3 sports and wanted to keep playing beyond college and didn't get a chance to, that it was just a terrific place to grow up.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Joe Altobelli. He was my partner for 5 years in Rochester.
Really?
Great guy. And Johnny LeMaster, I talked about this with Joe. There was a game I went to, and I don't know if this is the only game he did it, but one time he went out there and he had Boo stitched on his uniform instead of LeMaster. I don't know that you'd ever see that again. You'd probably get fined big time. But, I mean, he had a great sense of humor about it.
He did. That was in response to the fans, and he was struggling. And that was the crazy crab and – you know, I can remember going to Giants games and absolutely freezing. And then in college summer ball, we played out of the East Bay. I think we played our home games at St. Mary's. And we would, in the summer, get in the vans and come and play teams in the city, like at Golden Gate Park. we get in the vans and it'd be 90 degrees and you're wearing flip-flops and shorts, got your uni in a bag, and you get over here and throw your uni on and it's absolutely freezing. So you got a taste of what it was like to play at Candlestick, let alone watch the games at Candlestick when you're a kid.
Rich, good luck with the broadcast, the Facebook broadcast. We're going to pay attention to it and enjoy the rest of the season. Maybe we'll see you again on another Giants game, too.
I hope so. It's fun to get back home. It's fun to see the Giants, and I think a lot of people have overlooked them with Bumgarner going tonight and Cueto around the corner. I think this is a team that people should pay attention to, especially with the struggles. Look, everybody's hurt, it feels like. The Rockies run out of pitching in June and July anyways, so this should be a fun division to follow.
Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That's play-by-play announcer Rich Walt. He'll call the game on Facebook on Wednesday, Giants and Diamondbacks. Want to thank him, Will Clark, and Mac Williamson for joining us here on Inside China Basin. We'll be back with you later on this week and chat with our regular guest, Ray Woodson. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.